Prologue. It was 1979. This was her chance. Karen loved the studio session recorded 2 years previously for the song Biwana She No Home, in which she plays a wealthy recluse with a swanky car and a sassy servant. Everyone had been in the studio that day, all the musicians, technicians, and engineers for a jazz fusion jam. Pete Jolly played that syncopated piano, and Tom Scott riffed with his sax. She had a blast singing with a different voice, one that was lighter, sly, wry, and funky. She'd always been a jazz drummer and loved the swing in the song, the touch of Brazilian samba. That was the first time someone other than her brother Richard had composed the vocal arrangement. Jean Perling, who'd led jazz vocal groups like the Hi-Los and the Manhattan Transfer, scored the vocals and had Karen singing in a playful style, refreshingly different from the Carpenters' trademark lachrymose ballads. Now, she was about to cut her solo album, and she knew she wanted to explore more of that sound. Sales of Carpenters' records had been falling off, and it was time to bring in a new audience. Disco had revolutionized the scene, and they were moving into the 1980s. Her best friend, Olivia Newton-John, had reinvented herself with Grease, so why shouldn't Karen? Only she wasn't going to do it with a character like Sandy, chewing gum and doing 50s moves in black spandex pants. No, Karen liked wearing tailored suits. She was going to revision herself in a way that was cooler and more androgynous, more like her mentor, A&M Records boss Herb Alpert. The elegant trumpeter had dominated the 1960s and early 70s with the Tijuana Brass and classy but corny, easy-listening songs like This Guy's in Love with You. But then, in 1979, he came out with Rise, an electric, finger-snapping piece of jazz funk. If he could reinvent himself like that, so could she. From 22 floors up in her Century City apartment, Karen had an exhilarating view of Los Angeles, the Hollywood Hills, and Santa Monica. It was time to sound less suburban, more uptown. Phil Ramone was already on board as producer, and she would be working with some hip arrangers. Rod Temperton, the architect of Disco Smash, Boogie Nights, and Bob James, whose piano break on Nautilus would later be sampled on a million hip-hop tunes. Karen had the team and she was excited. But there was the problem of her anorexia, which haunted and drained and dogged her at every turn. She'd been in hospital and got her weight back up. She had been on the phone with Cherry Boone O'Neill, eldest sister of the singing Boone family, who had also suffered from anorexia. During their blunt, direct conversation, Cherry told Karen that the only thing that cured her was giving up show business and moving far away to a quiet life in the Northwest. But Karen didn't have time for that. She was usually the family problem, but ironically, it was Richard who was in a rehab treatment center. While he was far away in Kansas, she had the space to explore a new side of herself. With this record, she could help reposition the Carpenters and bring them into the 1980s. Karen wanted to disprove the naysayers, those who'd written off the group as too sugary and white bread. She was no longer the tag-along sister. She would prove that she wasn't Richard's puppet, just the voice for his production. Her time was now.